coming to you from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by way of Stone Mountain, Georgia, birthed by the great state of South Carolina, is the Bryant Land Country Podcast, your place for any and everything in hunting, fishing, sports, and outdoor related, with heavy doses of randomness, guests, and an all-around good time. Here's your host, proud Gamecock, South Carolina forever, AB3.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Bryant Land Country Podcast. I am your host, AB3. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming in. We got another great podcast for you today. Turkey season is gearing up. I got a really great turkey guest for you today. Young fellow by the name of Stephen Tucker from the Tucker Buck fame, but we're going to get into a conversation with him, and he's basically going to let you guys know, hey, he is just not the guy that killed a state record Tennessee deer, but he's got some other things going on and some other things that he's doing out here in the outdoors. So I had a good conversation with him, had a good time talking to him, and we're going to get into that interview here in a little bit. But before we get into the interview today, I got a couple things that I want to get off my chest, and I got a pretty cool piece of feedback or comment that I'm going to read for you guys as well. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to talk about a story that I found, and I apologize, I've been meant to share this story with you guys. Some of you may have seen it already, but it was from January 18th earlier this year. Headline reads, "Woman who hunts deer at age 101 kills two with a single shot." And what I'm going to do is I'm going to post it on my Twitter, or post a link to the story on my Twitter and on my Facebook. Twitter is at 3BryantLand. Facebook is BryantLand. And I'm going to post it on here, but just to give you a quick synopsis, veteran hunter Bertha Vickers made a twofer during her first successful hunt at age 101. And this was down in Mississippi. Clarion Ledger reported down in Mississippi. 101-year-old, she shot at one deer, basically hit another one, and killed both of them. Says here she was in the blind days after her 101st birthday, shot the deer with a 243 rifle. Granddaughter had to cock the rifle for her, but she was determined to get her deer after missing four deer during the season. 101 years old. Only thing I can say to that is I hope, if I'm living at 101, one, to be in my right mind, two, to be able to still get out and hunt deer. I mean, that is simply amazing. Just looking at the story, said, "I decided to wait for a bigger one," Vicker said. "Before long, a bigger doe came out and I shot. Then I saw two deer on the ground and I shot plumb through both of them." That's amazing. I mean, I've obviously never had that kind of experience, but like I said, to be 101 years old, to be able to get out, hunt deer, in your sound right mind, hunting from a ground blind, it says. It also says in the story that she also mows her lawn, raises vegetables, and still enjoys fishing. I mean, can you imagine being 101? I mean, I know there are a lot of things out there about longevity, and there are a lot of things out there talking about, you know, just taking care of yourself and being able to do the right thing. But man, I sure would like to know what she is doing to be able to continue that kind of lifestyle. I mean, that's just amazing at 101. Another part of the story says, she helped clean the animals, shared the meat with her family. She made steaks out of the deer, but she gave most of it to the grandchildren. 101 years old. I mean, I can't think of a better way to spend your 100th birthday. Sorry, I was just reading another part of it. So she's another part of the story says, when she killed another deer just weeks before her 100th birthday, Vickers wondered why other people made a fuss about it. It was a doe after all, not a prize buck. Man, that, like I said, I'm going to post this story on my Twitter at 3BryantLand, and I'm going to post it on my Facebook at BryantLand. But I saw that, you know, perusing the internet, and that was just one of the things I just wanted to share with you guys. I mean, that is, it's simply amazing to me. Like I said, once I get to be 101, I don't even know if, you know, I'll still be able to do that. But man, that's some kind of longevity, and God knows I hope I am blessed to be around long enough to be able to do that. Now, transitioning to a piece of feedback that I got through Apple Podcasts. Of course, you can subscribe to the Bryantland Country Podcast through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn app. I said Spotify, Google Podcasts. We're hosted by Podbean. Just wanted to throw that in there. So definitely you can get the podcast in many places. But I got some feedback from someone who calls themselves Nuff Said. It kind of reminds me of a line from one of my favorite Ocean's movies. I think it was Ocean's 13, actually. Bernie Mac, rest in peace. Nuff Said had to say, I am an aspiring bow hunter, and this podcast has proven to be highly informative. It's been great to hear a lot of what I've been reading, learning about, discussed in such an informal format. AB3 is a great host, and his guests have been so diverse. I truly appreciate that. Well, first of all, thank you for calling me a great host. I certainly appreciate that. We appreciate you listening to the podcast as well, Nuff Said. Gave us 5 stars. So that's something I know you guys have heard me, you know, yammer on about, on every podcast, you know, rate, review, you know, leave us a 5-star rating. I can say so far on iTunes, we've got nothing but 5 stars, and I am truly appreciate that. I'm truly appreciative of that. You know, when we started this podcast, we wanted to tell stories. You know, you guys, if you've listened to this podcast regularly, you've heard me say that over and over again. You know, we want to tell stories. We want to present people and stories to you that you may not otherwise hear about, or that may otherwise not get the shine that they deserve. So if you're learning something along the way with our guest, we're definitely happy and excited about that as well. Definitely glad to aspire someone who's already decided to pick up a bow and go out and do bow hunting. You know, I make no bones about it. Myself, I am a bow hunter. I know there's a distinction between some people between archer and bow hunter. I'm not much of a target archer. I'm a bow hunter. You know, I love shooting 3D targets, but I love getting in a tree, you know, chasing deer, or getting in a blind, chasing deer and hogs. And I can't wait to get in a blind to chase these turkeys. You know, anytime that we can inspire someone or give, you know, someone courage, or they can learn something from what we're doing and one of our guests, I mean, again, that just lets me know that we're doing something right here on this podcast. So I've enjoyed putting this podcast together. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for taking the time to leave us a rating and a review. And I encourage you to do the same. I encourage you all to do the same. I'm always telling you guys, tell 5 people to tell 5 more people about this podcast. We got a good thing going here. So I'm going to put that part to bed. But thank you, Nuff Said. Greatly appreciate it. Another transition, another thing that I want to talk about. I know when I first started this podcast, I said that we were going to talk about sports. We're going to have some sports things on. I'm working on lining up a guest from the sports world who is also a hunter. But allow me to comment just for a brief minute about my Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. You know, people that know me know that I am a Steelers fan. You know, congratulations to the Browns. They got, you know, Odell Beckham. Good for him. But we let Le'Veon Bell walk to the Jets. We gave away, and, you know, AB for basically nothing, a third and a fifth. Roethlisberger's there still. Mike Tomlin, who I think is a great coach, is there still. The ball's in their court now. I mean, you got rid of the 2 top weapons in the league. You got the quarterback that's still there. You're going to extend the quarterback, which normally your policy's been not to really, you know, extend people while they're in contract, but you're going to extend your quarterback. Okay, that's fine. And you got the GM out here running around talking about, you know, you got 52 kids and 1 adult, and the quarterback's the adult. Only thing I'm going to say is he better show up this season. He better show up this season. I mean, no excuses now. You know, your best wide receiver's gone. best running back's gone. No, it's all on Ben, and he ain't getting any younger. I hope they do something to shore up this defense. A lot of things I've read, they've got people that want to lay everything at the feet of Mike Tomlin. I personally think it's more of a general manager ownership kind of deal, and they're not doing what they need to do to keep the best talent and to bring in the best talent. But you got a third and fifth round draft pick, so I hope the scouting department are on their P's and Q's, as the old people used to say, because right now things are not looking good in Pittsburgh. So we'll see, though. We'll see. I'm confident in Mike Tomlin as a coach, but you got to give him better players, and hopefully Ben has his act together. I've been reading some things about Ben that I'm not overly excited about this fumble and whatnot, and this intentional fumble. But, you know, I'm a Steelers fan through and through, so got to support the team when they're up, support the team when they're down. Hopefully there'll be more ups than downs coming here in the near future. I also encourage you guys, if you got any sports topics or anything that you want to discuss, or sports questions and whatnot that you want to hear on the podcast, again, feel free to send me an email, you know, ab3bryantland@gmail.com. Feel free to hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or whatnot. Like I said, this podcast is going to be about a lot of things. So we're going to interject some sports in here a lot of times. We're going to have, you know, hunting. We're going to have, you know, ATV riding, fishing. You know, I got to get some more fishing guys on. I was down in New Orleans yesterday doing a game, and I saw one of my camera guys who also films for a fishing show. So I'm going to try to get him on. So we're going to talk about a lot of things here. We're not just going to be in a box. This is not going to be a podcast that's going to be in a box here. So now let's transition to my guest for this week. As I told you before, Stephen Tucker killed a state record deer in the state of Tennessee. He is now pursuing a career part-time, I would say, in the outdoor industry. Steven is a wonderful, wonderful guy. When I first started Bryantland and first started doing interviews and wanting to talk to people at the GON, the Georgia Outdoor Show down in Georgia, Steven was the first guy that I talked to. It was the year after he came off of the record buck in the state of Tennessee. He was there with J&S Scents. He had the deer on display, and he was really, really gracious with his time. He was, like I said, he was the first guy that I interviewed. I've been keeping up with him. He's got some things going on that he's going to talk about, some new projects and stuff that he's got going on. So it was great to catch up with him. Like I said, he's always gracious with his time. So I'm going to back out here a little bit. You guys kick back and listen to my conversation with Mr. Stephen Tucker.
All right, Stephen, thanks for joining me, man. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How you been?
Man, I've been doing good, trying to get ready to go chase some turkeys, man. That's why I wanted to get you on and talk to you a little bit and pick your brain about it.
Yeah, man, I heard that. I'm ready too. It won't be here fast enough.
Now, when you start, like with your scouting and stuff like that, how much on the ground are you? Like, do you just put out some cameras? Like, you have like an idea because you've been hunting the same property for years, or what's your starting tactics?
On turkeys?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't run hardly any cameras on turkeys or nothing like that. I'll go out early in the morning sometimes and listen, but I farm for a living and I'm on those farms all the time, and I kind of, when feeding cows and stuff like that, you see them here and there, and you just kind of start patterning them and kind of figuring where they're at and stuff like that. Now, right before turkey season, like within a week or two before turkey season opens, I got a kind of idea where they're at, and I'll start going and watching them roost and stuff like that in the afternoon, just kind of seeing where they're going and what area they're roosting in. That's what I like to do. I like to go find where they roost and next morning try to get in there close.
Nice, nice. Now, what is your preferred method of going turkeys? Are you a bow guy, or are you strictly shotgun, or you mix it up, crossbow, or what? How you get after them?
I mix it up. I like a 20 gauge, though.
Nice.
If I'm going to take a shotgun, I like a 20 gauge. I'll take my 12. I'll probably take my 12 some this year, but this year I'm going to try to go at them pretty hard. Or at least try to with my bow. I'm going to shoot some of those new solid decap broadheads.
Okay.
So
Nice. Yeah, that's I shot my first turkey with a bow last year out in Nebraska, and it was, like I said, I tell people, you know, all the time that it's easily like the top accomplishment in my hunting career so far. Like, I called them in, you know, was able to draw back and, you know, take them down. The funny thing is, though, it's like I got so excited and I had them on camera, and I got them on camera like gobbling and stuff. Like, I had the camera in the blind with me, but it got to a point where it was like they were starting to get out of frame, and I was like, if I don't go ahead and shoot one of these things, they're all going to get away, because it's like four of them, and they just came like down the ridge and they were just gobbling up a storm. And I was like, oh man. And I was like, I'm watching the video and I'm watching them gobbling. I'm like, man, I gotta shoot one of these things or else they're gonna get out of here. So, but yeah, that I definitely love going at them after them with a bow. I might carry my shotgun out a couple times this year, so we'll see.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a little recoil every now and then.
The way I took a lot of recall during goose and duck season this year, so I'm good on recall for right now.
Yeah, well, you did better than me. I had the worst duck season I've ever had in my life this year.
Oh,
it was bad. Now, it was bad. We never got any ducks.
Is that right there in that corner of Tennessee, like by Memphis and stuff, or are you're on the, where are you at?
I'm in Middle Tennessee, but I got a place in Arkansas.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, man, we got some rice fields and some flooded timber we hunt, but no, it was real slow this year.
Yeah, that's what everybody that I've talked to down there, they just said, like, this was probably one of the slowest and worst duck seasons of record, so.
Yeah, and they said if you was in St. Louis or north, though, it was, couldn't keep your guns loaded.
Yeah, like, yep, Kansas and all that, yep, I heard the same thing. Now, for you, let's get back on these turkeys, because I know you get me off and I'll start talking about waterfowl too.
I'm the same way.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. What's your favorite out of everything? Deer, the turkey, the ducks? What's your favorite?
Man, that's a hard one. I like them all. That's a problem. But I wouldn't want to have to pick just one. I couldn't. I love to deer hunt. I love to chase big bucks, but also at the same within the time, I love to work a duck and I love to work my dog.
Yeah. No, I've seen pictures of your dog too. You got a very nice dog. So yeah, no, I can understand that. Getting back to the turkeys. So do you kind of got a plan laid out? Like, as far as like different spots that you're hunting, are you going to try to keep it close to home this year? You got some trips planned?
Man, I'm going to keep it probably close to home this year. I might go up in Kentucky and hunt a little bit. Just depends. I mean, we got four tags here in my county in Tennessee. So.
Wow.
And I talked about going to Texas out there at Die Hard Outfitters with my buddy out there, Johnny. But I don't know if I'm going to get time this spring. Spring's hard for me. We're planting corn and getting ready for soybeans, plant soybeans and all that stuff. It's a hard time of year for me.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. It's the same thing with me. Like, I do good to carve out like one trip. Like last year, I carved that Nebraska trip out like right after basketball season ended, and then right before my baseball schedule took off. But that's the hardest part. Like, the best parts of turkey season, like I said, either we're finishing up baseball or I turn back around and they put me on or finishing up basketball, excuse me, and then they turn back around. I have like a couple weeks off, and if I can't get it done then pretty much the rest of my spring's lost, because I'm knee deep back into baseball. So I totally understand where you're coming from. The good thing though is that I got a place down in Georgia. I'm going to try to hit that pretty hard. Have you seen, well, let me ask you this, because I've seen cameras a lot going in through like my deer feed and stuff. I've seen a lot of raccoons lately. Have you had experience, like, are you trapping raccoons hard, or do you kind of, you got them kind of at bay where they don't bother you too much? Or, because I'm afraid.
Man, I think they are a nuisance, and I think it's more of them. It's not as many coon hunters around here anymore. Nobody, it's almost a thing of the past. Nobody is really, it's not as many people. Used to be people that done it all the time, and I think we're starting to see more coons do that. And I think coons, I mean, everybody knows they're one of the biggest threats to a turkey nest. And I think, I don't know, I've got some, my brother-in-law, he just ordered some of those DP traps to start trapping coons a while back, but just getting time to get out there and get them out. Got so much other stuff going on, but yeah, I think something needs to happen with them.
Yeah, because I was looking at when I was down on my property a few weeks ago, just kind of looking and scouting out. I think I'm going to spend a lot of time this summer just trying to trap coons because they seem like they're more of a problem than the coyotes. Like coyotes seem to be like the popular, like the sexy thing. You know, people want to trap or, you know, go out and shoot coyotes. But I see more daggone coons and possums than I do the coyotes.
Yeah, they're hard on the turkeys. And that's back to, we don't have any quail up here anymore, and they'll get quail eggs too, and then we don't have any rabbits here anymore either. I mean, coyotes are bad here too. I mean, it's not, everybody says they want to go, you got a lot of people that do coyote hunt, and then there's still a problem.
Yeah. Daggum nuisance. I saw today, kind of made me laugh. I saw a thing where I think in Michigan, where they airdropped like four wolves to go in and take out the moose, because there's, I guess, like a moose overpopulation or whatever. So they airdropped four coyotes to do that. And the only thing I could think is just like, why don't you just open up a season and hand out some tags? Because that would be, you would think that would be a lot better than airdropping, you know, wolves or whatever. But
yeah, especially if they're not native. I mean, and they might have one time have been native that area, but still.
Yeah.
Look, it'd been simpler just to open up a season.
But, you know, I just sit back and read stuff like that. I kind of stay out of that. So then a couple more questions.
I tried to, too.
You know what I mean? It's like, just keep that away. Now, your farm, because, you know, with the farming and stuff, obviously that leaves you in a very blessed position to kind of, you know, be a steward of your land. Is that a family farm that was handed down, like, to you, or that you work with your family, or how does that work?
I work with my dad and my uncle. My dad, my granddad was a farmer. My great-granddad was a farmer.
Nice, nice. Third generation, huh? That's pretty cool. And then the last thing on the turkeys, when it comes time, will you be in a blind or are you more of a running gun guy?
With a bow, I'm probably going to be in a blind. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But other way around, I like to run a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to run a gun. And I'm not above reaping one. That's fun, too. Hey.
Get them however you can, right?
Yeah. Get them however you can. I mean, just whatever's fun to you, just do it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
And I'm going to tell you, I reaped one last year, and I had him, like, I had to swat him off.
Did you really?
I ain't going to lie, I missed him my first shot. He was so close.
Oh, wow.
Like, when I dropped the fan, he was right there, and, I mean, like, he was, like, his head was probably, like, a foot from in my gun barrel, and he took a few steps, and I shot. I missed. He was too close. I couldn't hit him.
Wow. Man, I don't think I've ever tried that. I might, if the opportunity presents itself this season, I might have to try that.
Yeah. I mean, I always take a fan with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just the reap, but like when you're running and gunning, like last year I was running and gunning, me and another buddy were going around a ridge trying to cut a tom off in a field. We slipped around through there, and a hen was right at the top of that ridge in the field, and we didn't see her. And she went to clucking and purring, like she's getting upset because she heard it. She seen us moving down in there. I just raised that fan up and started waving it back and forth, and she chilled right out and went on.
Now, would that constitute as, like, your favorite or most memorable turkey hunt, or do you have another one that kind of, like, sticks out in your mind?
It didn't work. We ended up not able to get a shot on the tom. So that was pretty cool though, fooling at him like that. But no, probably my first one.
Yeah. Were you by yourself or with your dad or?
No, I was actually with my brother's one of my brother's friends. He took me where my mom and dad lived. We went behind the house back there. He took me that morning back there.
Easy enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So I noticed that you got another endeavor that you got going on. What is the game and what is that about? And what do you got going on with that?
Oh, it's me and a boy named Matt Jennings. He's out of Alabama. And actually, I met him through my brother-in-law. They was in on a lease together in Kentucky. And Matt had been part of a show before. And he got out of it back about this time last year. And I told him, I said, man, because he's wanting to go another direction. I said, well, hey, I said, me and you ought to try to do something together. I said, I've met a lot of people in the outdoor industry. I said, stuff like that. I said, I think I might have a shot at being able to pick up some good companies and stuff to work with. And I said, start filming some of this stuff. I said, I think it'd be pretty neat. And he's like, well, he's like, yeah, he said, I've done it before. He said, we can give it a whirl and see how it goes. And I mean, mid-June, July, then we're probably the worst time of the year to try to start that. We said, if we pick them up, we pick them up. If we don't, we don't. We're going to go like we got them all. We're going to just, maybe we'll have a good season and go out. And this year, me and Matt put a little over 1,100 inches on the ground between two guys.
Oh, wow. Now, are you...
No, I take it back. A little over 1,000 inches.
Okay. Wow, that's still pretty impressive. Are you guys doing all self-filming, or what's the...
Not much self-filming at all.
Okay.
I shot a doe this year, and I self-filmed her. But other than that, we didn't have any kills self-filming. We had some guys with us running video cameras and cameras for us.
Nice. Nice. Are you going to be on Outdoor Channel or Pursuit or anything like that? Or are you going to circumvent that process and just kind of put it out yourselves?
Nah, this year, all of our footage this year run Hunt Channel and Roku and all that stuff, Amazon Fire, different stuff like that. But next year, I think we're going to, don't hold me to this, but I think we're going to run a little different route. We're going to do a lot of short films and stuff like that and just do a lot of digital stuff. I don't see that going to your bigger networks and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think it's not the best thing for
me.
It's not. I think it'd be too much, not enough bang for my buck going that route.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I've said since I've kind of started, you know, doing my own thing, like with the videos and then now doing this podcast and stuff, the outdoor industry is a peculiar one to me, especially with someone who has, you know, a TV background and, you know, coming from sports television and whatnot. It's very peculiar how it runs. And then with technology being what it is today, I mean, all you need is just, you know, some good equipment, and not even really good equipment, just some equipment, and start putting, you know, your own stuff out there. And with the way social media works, man, you can definitely, you know, blow up probably quicker than you can going the traditional way of over there TV. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, and that's my thing, we're going digital and stuff like that. I mean, not that many people watch TV no more. It's not. Everybody's on their phone watching videos on their phone. Like me, I've got like that Monty Go app. I watch that. I watch those clips on my phone. I'll get on Instagram and I'll watch short films from this guy and from this guy. And that's what I like to see. That as far as like sitting down, I mean, I don't hardly ever come home and sit down and watch much of the Hunting Channel. I do some at times, but
right, it's not.
And a lot of times I don't. I watch it all on social media and just different places like that. And that's really where I want to focus our content, I think, because then at the same time I can automatically see how many views I'm getting or how people are reacting to it.
Right. Right. It's instantaneous. And in the society that we're in and the business that we in, the sooner you can get your metrics and, you know, see what's working and what's not working, then it's quicker to make the adjustment than the old way that the, TV works. It's funny because we executives in our business and sports television, they always say, you know, like the game is the last, you know, like the final frontier. Like that's the last thing now. That's appointment TV. Everything else you can go and get when you want. But the reality is yeah, you might want to watch the game when it's on, but you can still go get it when you want to. There's not much appointment television left anymore.
No.
But
not at all.
But no, that's great. Like I said, I saw some of the stuff you did over the fall, and then I was like, okay, I see he's definitely making his mark. Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you, and then I'll get you out of here, the Tucker Buck. Are you tired of it? Are you still, like, okay with it? I mean, it's kind of, like, it's kind of the thing that put you on the map,
yeah,
right? Or,
yeah.
Or did it just make the rest of us know what you already know? Like, are you tired of it? Like,
No, I'm not tired of it, but I'm not the type. I'm not going to come up and start talking about it. I mean, if somebody comes up to me and asks me about it, yeah, I'm gonna talk to them about it. If they want to hear the story, I've told the story a blue million times, but if you woke up to... If you woke up tomorrow and you want to hear a story, I'm going to tell it to you. I'm going to be not. I mean,
right.
No, I'm not tired of it, but no, I mean, I'm not, I don't know. It's not that I'm tired of it, but I just don't bring it up.
Yeah. I can respect that because, like I said, after a while, you know, sometimes, you know, that's all that, you know, you get people that do something, you know, as amazing as that. And it's like, that's all they get tied to. And then they kind of get pigeonholed and then they're left screaming like, hey, you know, I've done other stuff too, or I can do other stuff like that.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make me.
Yeah. That's not just how I do. Yeah.
So with this, okay. So I told a little fib. This will be the last thing with the game and everything like that. Do you see your way making your way out of farming and making a full time dive into the outdoor channel and digital media and stuff like that, or are you just an old farmer at heart?
Man, I think farming is one reason that I like to hunt so much. Is just being we run livestock, just and even get down to growing food plots and versus corn crops and stuff like that. I like to grow stuff, and I don't think I would ever. I would solely never ever. Just completely quit farming. I'll always have cows or something, or I might not always be able to have grain or nothing like that, but I'll always have cows.
Definitely. Well,
I mean, wherever this takes me on down the road, but I'm always going to stick to my roots too. I'm not going to leave that. I take too much pride in it.
No, I can understand that. Steven, I really appreciate it. Like I said, you've always been gracious with your time to me. I mean, ever since we met, and you were my first interview when I started, you know, all my Bryantland stuff when we were down in Georgia.
Was I really?
Yeah, that was when I
didn't even know that, man. That's
yeah,
awesome.
when I interviewed you at the GON that summer. I'd already, you know, started, you know, the Bryantland stuff, and I was putting together little videos and stuff like that. But you were the first person that I actually like stuck a microphone in their face and like interviewed and asked questions. Like I'm a director by trade. You know, I've been a director close to 20 years now. Well, close to about 15 years directing, and then over 20 years in, you know, sports television. And I kind of just wanted to get from behind, you know, to get out of the director's chair a little bit and kind of start doing more stuff in front of the camera and whatnot. But yeah, you were the first person I interviewed. And so when I came up with this idea for my podcast, I said, I'm going to reach out to him and, you know, just get him a couple of quick takes or whatever. So like I said, you've always been gracious with your time and I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I always try to make time to talk to anybody or help anybody any way I can. So.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. I appreciate it. Do me a favor. Let the people know where they can find you on Instagram, Facebook, web, or, you know, about the game or whatnot. Where can folks find Steven?
Man, on Facebook, it's the game. And then on Instagram, it's the game 365. And then me on Instagram, it's just S_Tucker1. Just go give me a follow and follow me along. See what I get into. Turkey season not too far away. And I just started feeding deer protein today, so already getting ramped up. Got the aftershock poured to them, so yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm ready to see some new growth.
Nice. Well, Steven, I sure appreciate it, man, and I'll be talking to you soon. Hopefully I'll see you at a show down the road here.
Yeah, man. Holler at me sometime.
Yes, sir. All right, just want to say thank you one more time to Steven Tucker for coming through on the Bryantland Country Podcast. He is always gracious with his time for me, so I definitely appreciate it. I'm glad that we were able to put something together where he could come on. And you guys make sure you go and check out what he has going on over there with the game. As for me, I'm getting ready to get out of here. Just want to give you guys a quick reminder. Check out the BryantlandCountry.com website. We have a store. Go to the website, BryantlandCountry.com. Hit the shop button. Go pick you up a t-shirt, a hat. We may even start printing some Bryantland Country Podcast merch here pretty soon. So you guys go and check that out. I'm going to go ahead and fall back and get out of here. I'm going to catch you guys next week on another episode of the Bryantland Country Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Bryantland Country Podcast, hosted by AB3. Please leave us a positive review and 5-star rating on iTunes. Be sure to check out our podcast section on our website, BryantLandCountry.com, for previous podcasts. Check us out on Instagram at Official Bryantland and Twitter at 3Bryantland. This has been an AB3 Media production. Join us next time for another edition of the Bryantland Country Podcast.